Folks, it is Saturday, not Friday, Saturday, our new day, the day when our podcast Could Be Your Life comes out, and that's what you're listening to right now. This is our podcast Could Be Your Life. My name is Jeff.
I'm Caroline.
Yes, and together we're going to talk about music.
And other stuff.
Probably, yeah. We very rarely stick to yeah. the topic.
We very rarely talk about music.
Yeah, we try, but you know,
it's hard.
There's lots of things to talk about.
It's tough out there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, don't judge a man until you have podcasted in his shoes.
Mm-hmm. Do you wear shoes when you podcast?
No, I'm not.
I don't either.
I'm not wearing a shirt right now, actually.
Why?
Because I came home from work and I'm like, I'm just gonna be partially clothed.
Sure. I'm wearing two shirts.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yep.
What, like t-shirts?
No, I have a t-shirt and I have a sweatshirt on.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's a shirt.
Yeah, I guess.
What would you consider it if not a shirt?
A sweater. That's closer to a sweater than a shirt.
It's a zip up.
I put it in the broad category of jacket. I don't consider that a shirt.
Disagree, because you shouldn't, but you could potentially just wear a sweatshirt.
Mm.
Like on top.
Mm. Who does that though? Who like
I used to do that when I was a little kid. I didn't know any better.
I've never done that in my entire life.
I didn't know any better.
Just worn a sweatshirt with nothing underneath.
People have done it. It's a bad idea because, like,
look, well, I'm sure someone has done it. That doesn't mean I'm sure someone has fucking gone out in like a trench coat and nothing else. That doesn't.
Yeah,
mean that's
people
a shirt.
Do that all the time. They get arrested for it.
That's the easiest outfit to flash someone in.
Yeah. Well, you gotta fiddle with the trenching coat.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily if you're just, like, holding it closed, you know.
I guess that's true.
Anyway, so, this is the perfect beginning.
True to our thesis statement that we do very little of talking about music.
Didn't take us long at all to get off
track. We're talking
about
shirtings.
Yeah. No, we're talking about the band Wire.
Mm-hmm.
The great British post-punk band. Or just
the great
punk.
TV show about police and drug people in Baltimore.
Oh, yeah.
That I've never seen.
Do you think they named that after the band Wire?
I don't know, but is the music magazine Wire named after the band?
I don't know, actually. It seems like they might be, because I could imagine those guys being into Wire.
Sure.
We're talking about Wire. Caroline, I was doing a little snooping.
Oh, boy.
I have to admit.
Oh, boy.
I couldn't help but notice that you had no Wire ratings on your RYM page.
Yeah, I do now.
Am I to understand that you had never listened to Wire before this week?
No, I had. I had Pink Flag for a while. Okay. I hadn't listened to any of their other stuff until
really?
This week. Yeah, which is stupid because it's pretty good.
Oh,
but I've had Pink Flag for a long time, uh-huh. And yeah, the album is great.
Yeah.
But you should listen to their other ones.
Of course you should. Generally, the word on Wire is that you only need their first three albums.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there are people who will tell you that the stuff they've done in the last, like, since the turn of the century has been pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, and I find it okay, but
I think it's pretty I think that the stuff that they've done, like, since 2000 is better than stuff that they did, like, after 154.
Right.
So.
Yeah, there was that middle period for Wire.
Where, that saggy midsection.
Where, you won't find many people sticking up for those albums, or at least...
They have an album called Manscaped, which I think is weird.
Yeah, and that was before that term had come to be popular, wasn't it?
I guess. I mean, isn't manscaping just shaving?
Well, yeah. Well,
like, welcome to my world.
Well, it's not just shaving. It's like, it's you know, organizing your body hair.
Well, it's basically doing what women have to do to remove their body hair to be considered acceptable in society.
Right.
And then you turn it into a new word.
Manscaped. You know, I feel like that wasn't a thing until... Like, I don't think I heard the term manscape until, like, 2008 or something, maybe.
I feel like it existed before that. I feel like manscaping existed during Queer Eye for the Straight Guy era.
Oh, yeah?
You remember that show?
Oh, yeah.
That horrible paragon of gay representation.
I think we really grew as a nation from that show.
Yeah, I feel like that taught us a lot about what it means to be gay.
They use the word manscape on that show, though?
I feel like they must have. I actually watched a ton of that show when it was on.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
I watched a lot of it. I don't know why. I just would watch anything back then.
Sure.
And I watched a lot of that show, and it was just a lot of, like, they would take a guy to Dolce & Gabbana and make him buy really expensive pants. And, like, he'd get highlights in his hair. And then, like, his wife would come home. And they'd be like, thank you, strangely asexual gay men, for saving our marriage. Now we're going to have sex has been sanctioned by our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And you can go do whatever it is that you do. Mainly helping straight people.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder what those boys could do with me. Yeah,
that's a good question.
Because I'm hardly a tip-top as far as, you know, fashion and personal grooming goes.
Yeah, but what do you need?
I don't know.
You want some Dolce & Gabbana pants?
Maybe. I don't even know what that would look like.
They're just fancy. It's just designers.
Can you imagine me in, like, high class digs, though?
I could imagine it. I find it unlikely.
That's very
that it would happen.
Okay, I'm scuzzy. I keep it real. Right.
No, I'm scuzzy too. I get it.
Yeah. But yeah, we're talking about Wire.
Yeah.
Wire, for a short period, I believe Wire was one of the greatest bands in the world.
Okay.
I really think those first three albums were something truly special.
Oh, yeah.
And they were really ahead of their time, and I don't really think there's been a band quite like them.
And the being ahead of their time thing is kind of interesting, like, for me to go back and listen to that and have, like, all the context of all the stuff that came after. Mm-hmm. And I can be like, oh, well, this kind of sounds like whatever. And then I'm like, oh, well, that didn't really exist yet. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, well, no, I've read a little bit about Wire this week, and, like, they got bored with punk very quickly.
Sure. Who would?
Well, you know, they felt like punk at the outset had a lot of potential and to be, like, something new and inventive and barrier breaking, and instead it kind of calcified into formula very quickly.
Yeah. That's like the story of like the history of all movements.
Not necessarily. I mean, I think a lot of genres flower.
I just meant historical movements in general.
Oh.
All of them.
Like what?
I don't know. Like if, you know, if you look at the history of like various like splinter, like type groups, like if you look at the history of like different like political parties and shit like that, that's what happens to all of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's not do that anymore, guys. Let's just not do stuff.
Yeah, if we teach you anything,
don't do anything.
Don't do stuff.
Don't do anything ever. Don't go outside. Don't try to better yourself.
Being a part of things is lame.
Oh yeah, trying and caring about things is probably the lamest thing you could ever do.
It really is.
Oh my god, have you ever cared about something? I haven't. Look at me.
I did once. It was awful.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say I did once and now I'm getting married to her.
No.
Wouldn't that have been sweet if you said that?
That would have been sweet. But, but alas.
See, you got to step your game up. I can't believe I'm saying all these lines like for your girl.
Look, I'm romantic.
That you're not saying.
I'm romantic as shit. All right.
Oh, sure.
I'm just not putting it out there for the entire world to see. All right.
I see.
Yeah.
I see. So anyway,
and she's not my girlfriend. She's my fiance.
I said girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is actually kind of worse.
Yeah.
She doesn't belong to you.
That's what she thinks. but anyway, Wire. They were all. Here's something cool about Wire. Actually, Bruce Gilbert,
mm-hmm.
their guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
When Pink Flag came out in 1977, dude was 31 years old.
That is cool.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
There's hope for us yet.
There is hope for us yet. I really do. I get so energized by stuff like that. Like that Patti Smith was like 29 when Horses came out.
Mm-hmm.
Chilling out. Because it's like, not to sound like Cosmopolitan magazine, but like, guys, life totally doesn't end at 30. You can have the best sex of your life.
It's true.
You can release incredible music albums and like do weird sex positions that nobody would be comfortable. You ever read Cosmopolitan magazine? That's all it is.
They detail extremely awkward sex positions.
Well, they tell you to do them.
Hmm.
They tell you how to do them, and they tell you to do them.
I mean, you know, if you have to like maneuver really hard to have sex,
it's probably not worth it.
That takes a lot of the enjoyment out of it, I would imagine.
I would agree. That's why I don't understand.
The classics are classics for a reason. I'm just saying.
Some cliches are cliche for a reason.
and rightly so.
Yeah. Keep it simple, you guys.
Yeah.
Wire did that.
They did. Wire sort of came at punk. All four of them were art school kids.
You can tell.
Yeah, definitely. There's very much an art school mentality in their music, I think. And
I've never been to art school, but I saw Art School Confidential, so I feel like I know what it's like.
Wire is basically like Art School Confidential, except music. They're kind of pretentious about it, actually, where, Bruce Gilbert has said, like, he doesn't like thinking of Wire as a band, but he's like,
oh boy,
they're like a project. They're like living sculpture, is what he called it.
Wait, is that what he said?
Yes, I think that was his exact quote.
There's such a fine line between pretension and stupidity, to think.
That is true.
Because that tells me nothing.
Yeah, well, Graham Lewis, he says he always calls their lyrics, he doesn't call them lyrics, he calls them texts.
Oh my god.
so they're very much, they're very artsy about it. I like
they
to
need
think
to get, they need to get beat up a little bit, you think?
Maybe, yeah. They can all stand a couple of kicks. Well, they did, as we've talked about with several other bands that dared to do anything at all interesting with punk rock. Wire often faced very hostile audiences with their early performances because audiences didn't really know what to make of them. Something they sort of talked about is like their approach to performance was very sort of artsy and non-punk. Like they tried to move as little as possible while they were playing because they rejected like showmanship of any kind and like rocking out like they thought was lame, basically.
Yeah, you know what else is lame? Everything.
As we've previously discussed.
Yeah. They didn't breathe on stage because breathing is bourgeois.
Right. They only wore like black and white on stage.
Oh my god, of course.
Right. So they wanted to have this very, not just in their music, but in every aspect of what they
did. You know what?
They wanted it to be stripped down.
Huh. I started this episode liking this band.
I am making them sound kind of douchey, but...
Oh my god, yeah.
But, you know, they I don't know, I think it was kind of cool. Like, they said that they thought through, basically, like, every aspect of what they did. You know?
Sure.
Like, it was all very conscious, what they did. Sort of the quote about why all the songs on Pink Flag are so short that they gave was like, well, when the words ran out, the song was over. So
see, that sounds more off the cuff actually being.
Well, maybe. But they were looking to strip it down, basically. They wanted to reduce this music like to its very like barest essentials.
Can I tell you? It worked.
Yeah.
Pink Flag, great.
Yes, and that's sort of the impetus that gave birth to Pink Flag, which is a very minimal record.
Yes.
And a great record, I think. Absolute classic. And Pink Flag is very much a greater than the sum of its parts record, I would say, also.
Yeah.
You know? Because, I mean, a lot of the songs, they're blink and you miss it, kind of.
Yeah, that's true. And, like, some of the songs, like, I can't necessarily remember. Mm. But when I listen to that album, I'm having a great fucking time. And I'm like, why don't I listen to this album more? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't remember how any of the songs are, so I don't think to listen to it. And one song I do remember quite well is Strange, because R.E.M. did a cover of it on Document, which is probably my favorite R.E.M. album because I have bad taste.
Why does that mean you have bad taste?
I don't know. I just feel like people probably would think like that's a very pedestrian opinion. But I fucking love Document.
My favorite R.E.M. album is Murmur. It's not like that's an exciting opinion.
Murmur is so good. Murmur is my second favorite.
Murmur is one of the greatest albums ever made.
Oh yeah.
Undoubtedly. Yeah. But that's for
it's better than any of this shit.
It probably is, actually. It is probably better than any Wire album. I'm sorry, Wire, I love you, but Murmur, you know?
Yeah. Why weren't you from Georgia, you British assholes? Yeah.
They were also very British.
And you know how I feel about that.
You're a musico-fascist.
Well, xenophobe, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I categorically reject British music the way you do. But,
I mean, I don't. Like, I really don't. I kind of play it up.
Right, right. I know you're slightly kidding when you say all that, but...
Yeah. Well, good.
But yeah, they their subject matter was very British. Something they've talked about is like their sense of reserve and distance they considered to be very British as well.
Yeah.
The kind of lack of rawness and like their lack of, I guess, explosiveness.
Yeah, nobody's crying on stage singing these songs.
They considered that to be very British of them.
I'd say it probably is.
Yeah.
I went to England once.
Yeah.
That was kind of what it was like.
I went to London about a month ago.
Did you almost get hit by a bus?
Not. No. No.
I did.
The whole driving on the left side of the road thing caused some near misses for me, but
Were you driving?
No, I wasn't driving, but like crossing the street, like
yeah,
like
they actually like have like on the curb it says like look left,
right?
Because of all the stupid fucking American.
Right. Well, that was the thing is like I would, you know, I would be trying to cross the street and I would see a car coming in the left lane. And it would pass, and I'd be like, oh, this is a one-way street.
Yeah.
I would, like, cross it, and a fucking car would come down the other way, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm in the UK.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that, and, like, I've spent my entire life knowing that they drive on the left side of the road in the UK, but, you know.
Now, that's crazy.
Old habits die hard, though, you know?
Yeah.
I love London, by the way.
Yeah, London's baller. We should go there.
London was amazing.
We should take a podcast field trip. Yeah.
I saw Mew while I was in London.
Oh, yeah.
At the Village Underground.
The Pokemon.
Yes, I saw the Pokemon Mew at the Village Underground in London. Which, kind of a shitty venue, to be honest. I don't know if any English people listen to this podcast, but...
Or at least any Londoners.
Londoners. I don't care for the Village Underground, if any of you have been there. It's just too cramped a space to watch a band. It's very hard to get a good view. But yeah, that's my take on that London venue that probably no one knows what I'm talking about.
Sire ever played there?
Wire?
Yeah.
Probably. I don't know how old it is.
I'm just trying to bring it back.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Wire. They're British.
They're really good.
And that's something, that sense of reserve, I think, is a big part of what sets Pink Flag apart from other punk rock records. 'Cause
yeah.
To me, this is one of the first albums that I would call post-punk. Not necessarily because it sounds a lot like what we would come to understand as post-punk.
Yeah.
'Cause it actually does sound like sort of traditionally punky in a lot of ways, but to me, like, it has that very like precise clipped rhythm to it that, like,
oh yeah,
that, you know, that sort of anxious feeling, that jitter.
It has
a
bit of like Perubu kind of,
yeah, absolutely,
like panic dancing kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's got that anxious feeling that I associate with post-punk, you know?
It's got that anxious feeling I associate with my entire life.
but the whole thing is so, like, rigid, you know? It's mm-hmm. not... It's tight as hell.
Like, yeah, it sounds like people that are trying not to move while they play their instruments.
Exactly. But, you know, I think a lot of the time we associate punk with a kind of raw sloppiness, and that is not this at all.
Yeah.
It is a very controlled, very tight, very, like, clipped, like, rigid, rhythmic experience.
Yeah.
Which I think is cool.
Also, there's, like, a flute on it at some point.
Is there?
Yeah, that's pretty stupid.
Where's their flute?
On Strange.
Is there flute on that?
Yeah, listen to it again, buddy.
Okay. I did not notice that.
I'm sure, like, somebody probably went to somebody's house and tried to kill them for putting a flute on a punk record.
Yeah.
Because you know how those punks feel.
About extraneous instruments?
Yeah.
Like I said before, this is, I think, kind of a greater than the sum of its parts record, but... There are definitely standouts for me. For instance, X-Lion Tamer.
Yeah.
Which, to me, That's one of my favorite songs ever, actually. Not even just, like, my favorite Wire song. Like, that's one of my favorite songs ever. And it's a song that I always, like, have to listen to two or three times. Like, I can never just listen to it once. I always fucking, like, go back to the beginning another time or two after it's done. Because it's just got that, you know, short and addictive kind of quality to it. And that chorus is such a, like, rousing sing-along. Fish fingers all in a line.
Yeah.
Stay glued to your TV set. Like, it's great. There's great danger. Hammers, giggles, save the law. Don't cook up justice. Justice. Bob Evans, quick, I say. Something about yelling fish fingers all in a line is really satisfying to me.
Yeah, I feel that way about yelling.
In general?
Yeah.
All right.
Mannequin. Mannequin is great.
Sure. That was the only
also
single.
Mannequin 2 on the move.
Mannequin was filmed at Woolworths. Boys to Men still keeping up the beat.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mannequin, that was the single off this album, which they were very reluctant to release a single, actually. Because...
Yeah, that's bourgeois shit.
Well, we've made several jokes about bourgeois in this episode, but Wire actually did not really align themselves with politics. They sort of found that, like...
Bourgeois.
Yeah. Exactly. But they wanted, that was another thing, like, that they talked about is, like, punk was very of its time, and they wanted their music to transcend the time that they recorded it in.
I would say they...
What's that?
I would say they succeeded at that.
Yeah. And
I mean, nobody really does, but...
I mean, I think you can definitely find punk sentiments on here also, like Mr. Suit is very, you know, classic. I mean, shit, any old punk band could have written that song. I'm tired of being told what to think. I'm tired of being told what to do. I'm tired of fucking phonies. That's right, I'm tired of you.
Yeah, that sounds like a Flipper song.
Exactly.
Although Flipper were not just any band.
Yeah, they were not as good as Wire.
Oh. Oh, dear. That hurt.
Well, the truth often does. Actually, speaking of lyrics, it's really worth looking at the lyric sheet for these songs because... You can't fucking understand them for the
most part. No, you can't. I did not look at the lyrics.
Very British. But I think the lyrics are really sort of funny and strange and interesting on this album, I think.
Sure.
So
the song titles are cool.
Yeah, yeah. The song titles themselves, right there, you can sort of get an idea that kind of abstract and arty and
Surgeon's Girl.
Yeah.
What's she doing?
Hanging out, being herself.
Yeah. That's all you can be. That's all anybody can ask of you.
Yeah.
Just be yourself.
What about you? What do you like on this album?
Well, you did mention X Lion Tamer.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned Mannequin. I really do love Strange, though. Like, it's just got that, like, kind of heartbeat, like, riff.
Yeah.
Darn it. Darn it.
It grinds.
Yeah, I just really, really love that song.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, as somebody who heard the REM first, it's interesting to compare how different the two are.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that REM version, that's an upbeat kind of pop song. And this is not that.
No, it's a drone. Yeah, that's another thing about this album is like how much they can do with like one chord.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Strange is definitely an example of that. Reuters basically goes along on one chord for the vast majority of it.
Sometimes you only need one.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool. Like, because they were minimalists. And this is a funny album, I think, a lot of the time. Like,
yeah.
Not even so much lyrically, but just, like, the music, actually, I think is funny a lot of the time. Like, the endings are very abrupt.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
that's
it's true. It's not just that the songs are short, because, I mean, that's punk rock, you know? But, like, they end so abruptly, like, it's kind of funny a lot of the time, and, like, it goes into the next song. And sometimes it's hard to tell where one song ends and one song begins if you're not paying attention to it. Yeah, but Strange is a good song. Mr. Suit, also a great song. I mentioned that already. Mannequin, beautiful harmonies on that track.
Oh.
12
times you.
It's 1, 2, X, you.
Whatever.
Well, they say it in the song.
I know they do. I'm just...
you know who covered 1, 2, X, you?
Shit, who did?
Minor Threat.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I would know that if I listened to them.
Saw you in a mag kissing a man. Well, actually, a lot of songs from this album were the recipient of covers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Henry did X-Lion Tamer.
That's right, he did.
Good boy.
Minor Threat did 1-2-XU. Fuck, what one am I missing?
Strange.
Well, we already...
Firehose did Mannequin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I think I'm forgetting one, but that's fine. Well, a cover of sorts. The band Elastica took the riff for Three Girl Rumba for their song Connection.
All right.
Do you know that song?
No, I don't.
Okay, it was kind of a minor hit on alt-rock radio in the 90s.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about Britpop.
Well, they were... I guess they were Britpop, but...
Yeah. You know what I do like, though? I might not like Blur, but I do love the Gorillaz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's not to love?
I don't know. Nothing. They're really good.
Mm. Man, I had like a bunch of other points I wanted to make, but I'm forgetting them. Three Girl Rumba. While we're on the subject, to me, that's like a perfect illustration of the Wire aesthetic. It's extremely minimal and very stripped down, and it just has this perfect like rhythmic, like. Like, every element is just there, like, not a wasted note in that song, you know? Like, even the drums, they're just there to provide this very skeletal backing track, and the bass just does these little filler doop-doop-doop-doop-doops, like, over it.
Yeah.
And it's a really neat encapsulation of their aesthetic, I think.
Can I tell you something?
What's that?
All notes are wasted.
If you say so.
Yeah. Music is bad.
I feel like I've been doing a lot of talking here. You should say something.
I don't have much more to say that you haven't said.
God damn it.
What do you want? I'm being honest.
All right, fine.
Can we talk about Chairs Missing?
Yeah, I guess we can.
I'm kind of pissed that I didn't listen to this album until this week because it's really, really good.
Fucking great. I would probably give... Yeah, I would say Chairs Missing is my favorite Wire album.
Yeah, I would say the same thing.
Yeah, it's got the kind of freewheeling... well, not freewheeling, that's not the right word, but it's got that same sort of jittery nervousness and, like, clipped rhythms and just rigidity of Pink Flag, but it sort of expands sonically.
Yeah, I feel like I feel like the songs are allowed to make more of an impression.
Yeah, yeah, they're definitely, but they're still like short though, and you still like sort of run through them quickly in most cases, which is cool because you get this. It's paced well, you know. It's snappy, which they would soon abandon. But yeah, I think their most interesting work is on this album because 154, while a great album, I don't like it quite as much as this one, and we'll get to that when we do. But you still get that sort of sense of fun of like sort of working an idea to its completion and moving on to the next one.
Yeah. Fun is not a word that I feel like the Wire boys would want you to use.
I think this is fun music a lot of the time. Like, and I think it's funny. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes intentionally also, like, I Feel Mysterious Today. Like, that's a silly song, you know?
Sure.
Those like, bawls on the keyboard and him going, yeah, I Feel you know Mysterious what? Today.
You know what? I think it's funny.
Huh.
As you might know, I have bad eyesight, and so I continually misread the song title "Sand in My Joints" as "Sand in My Jorts."
It's another word that I don't think.
I don't think it did. No, the thing of it is nobody likes shorts.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like jorts. They don't like cargo shorts. They don't like Bermuda shorts. Nobody likes shorts, but if you're not wearing shorts in the summer, and my friend, I am not, everybody's looking at you weird. And I'm like, what do you want me to do? You want me to wear articles of clothing that all you do is make fun of?
Yeah, and cargo shorts in particular. I feel like I get mixed messages on cargo shorts. Because all I see is disdain.
Yeah.
But when I go to the clothing store, like 75% of the shorts are cargo shorts.
Yeah.
It's like, what am I supposed to do here?
Exactly. What do people want me to be?
I'm just going to look like a big douchebag to everybody? Against my will?
Yep. Yep.
This is all I can do.
Yeah. I just don't wear shorts. I'm like, fuck it, guys.
You don't wear shorts?
Fuck no. I have little chicken legs. I don't like very much. I ain't wearing shorts.
All right.
I don't want to get sand in my jorts. That's a good song though.
Sand in my jorts, definitely.
Yeah.
Pretty much all of these are good songs.
Oh yeah, Heartbeat, you may know the Big Black version.
Yeah.
I do. It's the first overt love song that they did, I guess.
That Big Black did?
No, Wire. Producer Mike Thorne has called it the band's first overt love song. Hmm. Every song Big Black did was a love song. It was a love song to human depravity.
I guess, I don't know, I kind of thought Brazil, well, maybe that's more of a parody of a love song, but...
Yeah, well, there was Pink Flag, none of them were having sex, and then maybe Chair's Missing, maybe they started having sex, and then they wrote a love song, so they were like, well, this is pretty good. I mean, they didn't want to be too enthusiastic about it because, I mean, that's uncouth, but...
Right. Yeah, that's probably what happened.
That's exactly what happened.
That's exactly what happened.
Outdoor Minor.
Beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful song.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like sort of a template for, like, indie pop, almost. Like... I don't know. Like, I hear that sort of post-punky, like, pop sound.
Yeah, and like, it was a minor.
REM had to take from Outdoor and Minor, I think.
Oh yeah, they knew what they were doing. Mm. Yeah, and Outdoor Minor was kind of a minor hit.
In the UK.
In the UK, which I don't know what they're doing over there. Like, the whole kind of history of like indie alternative music over there, like, it's mystifying to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it just played out so differently than here, and it felt way more like you didn't it feels like you definitely did not have like a like an underground so much, because it felt like everybody was on Old Grey Whistle Test and
John Peel.
Yeah, I mean, John Peel was the dude, but
yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah.
He was making everything happen.
Sure.
I mean, you just had to keep your ears open, you know.
Yeah.
Everything on this album is good.
Yeah. I like that they have a synthesizer. I usually feel negative about synthesizers.
Well, they put it to interesting use on this album.
Yes, and they're... well, actually, I don't know if it is fair to say that I'm usually negative about synthesizers. It's just that I don't feel as positively toward them as I do guitars. Hmm. But... yeah, they use it interestingly on this album. On some of their other albums, it's a little much, but
yeah. This is where they started to sort of deepen their sound, and you know, Pink Flag is a very good record for what it is, and but I think
that sounds so condescending.
Well, I just
very
mean like
good for what it is.
They set themselves very strict limits with Pink Flag, basically.
Oh yeah,
like they had a very set idea of what they wanted to do, and here they're kind of opening that up a little bit, and it's a much like richer album sonically than Pink Flag was.
Yeah,
you get these like scraping industrial robot sounds on "I Am the Fly," which is awesome, by the way.
Yes, that song is great.
Great song.
Is that the inspiration for Bono's alter ego, The Fly?
The Fly. Yeah, Bono heard that song and he's like, no, I am the fly.
It's like, I'm going to do that.
Yeah, and you know, on I Feel Mysterious Today, as I mentioned before, you get those bombs.
Yeah, it's like the drop in dubstep.
It's exactly like that. Yeah, and just more like effects on the instruments also, like being sucked in again has those like sort of... That's a song with an interesting tension to it, actually, because the guitar part is very like scratchy,
mm-hmm.
And the bass has this kind of like watery sound on it. So they play off of each other, And like men second, you get that sort of like alarm sound on it almost. That like
yes, yeah.
That song rules. This whole album is just great.
It's great. If you like music, you should listen to this.
Yeah. It's my favorite Wire album, I think. It definitely does the best job of sort of keeping that punk energy while also opening the door to like newer sounds and all that. Because I do still think they really had that like post-punk like jittery aggression and nervousness on this album, which was sort of starting to fade a little bit on 154, which we'll talk about now.
This is like their goth album.
Sure, it's a moody album, and it was kind of interesting. There was a recent RYM thread that was titled "Pink Flag or Chairs Missing," and at least 75% of the people that posted in this thread said 154 was better than either of them. And okay, first of all, no.
Yeah.
And second of all, no. Like, that's just not right. I'm sorry, but it isn't. 154 is a good album in its own right, but I just think it loses a little bit of what Wire is about, which to me, there's a certain like concision and purity that I associate with Wire that I get less of on this album than with the previous two. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I do really like this album because it is kind of a goth album, and I do like British people when they're making goth music in my face. I like that the cover art looks like a bedspread that I'm sure my family had in the late 80s. Math reference 41 North, 93 West is a great fucking pop song.
Covered by My Bloody Valentine?
Yes, famously.
And a lot of bands have covered Wire, man.
Yeah, well,
it just goes to show how pervasive their influence is, you know?
Yeah.
Apparently Steve Albini is like a huge Wire fan.
I would definitely believe that. Mm-hmm. Like, if you look aesthetically at the kind of precision that Shellac in particular has.
They're sort of like interest in these quirky like stoppings and startings and that kind of thing. Like,
mm-hmm.
That's a good point, actually. That's very Wire.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, Big Black did cover Heartbeat.
Right.
And I think Big Black, too, like their kind of use of rhythm and, I mean, they were more chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of that just had to do with, like, how angry they sounded. Like, if you dig a little deeper, then it's very controlled. And it is pretty Wire, actually.
Yeah. Something, apparently all four members of Wire, like, really, really worshipped Brian Eno.
And, that makes sense.
And considered him, like, a hero.
Sure.
And here I think is
they all lived in England. He probably lived like two doors down from them. They
well,
could
he
have
like
just hung
lectured
out
at the art schools that they went to or whatever. Oh,
sure.
So like they actually got to know Brian Eno a little bit.
They're living your dream.
They are. I want to hang out with Brian Eno. Like it'd be fun to just like talk to Brian Eno.
Like, yeah, what's he like?
You know, he's got to be an interesting guy.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, like the average song length on this album is longer than the previous two. And like, maybe that's a shallow criticism to make here, but to me, that's sort of what I like about those first two albums in a big way is how they sort of run through all these ideas like quickly. That's kind of why I like Guided by Voices for the same reason, you know, like, they give you these little like nuggets of song that you just sort of blow through quickly.
Nobody's young forever, Jeff.
you grow up and you start writing long songs.
You slow down.
Yeah. Maybe that's true. And that's what happened here. They got old.
They're slowing down.
To me, it's amazing like how much this band evolved in such a short time.
Yeah, like, I would agree with that.
I mean, this album and Pink Flag came out 2 years apart, you know? Like, Pink Flag, Chairs Missing, 154, bam, 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 one a year, you know?
Mm-hmm. And they're all, like, incredibly different.
Yeah. And Pink Flag, apparently by the time they actually recorded that material, they were, like, tired of it. Like, they already had their Chairs Missing material, like, that they were working on, and they're like, we like this stuff. And they're like, no, dude, you have to record this Pink Flag shit. Like, you have to. So, they were like, all right.
So, fine. Do they feel kind of bitter about, like, the status that Pink Flag in particular has in popular culture?
I don't think so. They are pretty firmly, like, anti-nostalgia, though. Like, they're very much about, like, what we're doing now is what we're interested in. And, like, they don't want to, like, live in the past. You know, they came to Cat's Cradle a few years ago.
Yeah.
When they were touring for Red Barked Tree. They might have even come more recently than that, I'm not sure. But yeah, like, look at their set list, and it's all current shit, you know? Like, they don't really play the old shit. They played, like, one song each off of the first three albums, and then the rest was, like, new shit, you know?
Well, that makes sense to me, though, because, like, I can't imagine if you're, like, in your 60s and you're an artist, like, you want to just constantly be playing the shit that you were doing when you were 30, because
no,
you're in
absolutely.
A different place and your interests are different.
Yeah, no, I mean, I do not blame them in the slightest, but at the same time, like, I don't think people really like Wire for the shit that they did in 2011, you know?
Like, yeah, yeah.
Like, most people will tell you, like, the first, all you need is the first three. Like, mm-hmm. You don't need to go any past that. And
well, I did, because we do six albums on our show.
We do.
So
right. And we're gonna talk about those. But and you know, like, good for them also for not, like, acquiescing to that. And, like, you know, I think a lot of bands are rehashing their old shit for the money, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the really disappointing thing about, like, the Pixies reunion, for instance, is, like,
yes.
Because they came to Greensboro, like, when Kim Deal was still in the band, and they were playing Doolittle, and, like, they were charging $70 to fucking come see them play Doolittle, you know? And I had, like, read, basically, Frank Black hasn't really been shy about saying, like, he's doing this for the money, you know? And,
right.
And, you know, that's fine. Like, I'm not begrudging him that. He didn't, like, get the credit he deserved, like, when, you know, the band was around the first time. But there is just something that seems so, like, mercenary about it that, like, mm-hmm. puts a damper on things, I think.
But I think there's also, too, like, I think a lot of people will say, like, with a band like that, they're like, I want them to be doing something different. And then the second that they do, they want them to be doing the old stuff.
That's
Pixies
also true.
Case in
that's
point.
Also true.
Yeah. And I've certainly been guilty of that, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I just want a band to be, like, what I want them to be. Mm. And they don't always comply, which is stupid.
But, yeah, and like Bruce Gilbert is turning 70 this year, you know? And
good for, like, him.
Do you really want to see 70-year-old, like, busting through Pink Flag? Like,
I don't know.
I mean, maybe, but it's it does seem like a young man's record, I guess.
Yeah. Let's see how you feel when you're 70.
Again, I'm saying I do not begrudge them at all for saying, like, what we're doing now is what the band is about. Like, we're not gonna fucking drudge out these 40-year-old songs because that's what people like the best, you know?
And, right.
Like, good for them, you know? I'm not begrudging them at all, but you know, that is mostly what I'm interested in. Is the 40-year-old songs, though. One interesting thing, though, about that is that in the 80s, when they were touring for The Ideal Copy, I think, they actually had an opening band called the X Lion Tamers. And what they did is they played Pink Flag in its entirety as the opening act. And then fucking Wire came on and, like, played their new shit, basically.
That's kind of genius.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I love that.
People get, you're getting what you want.
Mm-hmm. And Jim DeRogatis, the journalist, do you know him?
Yeah.
Yeah, he,
yeah, I read his Flaming Lips book.
Yeah, yeah, he wrote that. Yeah, he was the drummer, actually, for the X Lion Tamers.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. So, interesting tidbit there, I think.
Yeah, that's what you come to us for.
Yeah.
Interesting tidbits.
But getting back to 154... We mentioned map reference.
Yeah.
What else is good on here, though?
Shit, I only listened to this album once.
All right. I'll talk about what's good on here, then.
Okay.
I think the most Chera's missing-like song on here is On Returning, which has that post-punk rhythm to it, and also a keyboard part that's... It's, you know, the keyboard goes like doom doom, and the guitar goes like bam 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 bam, and it's mm-hmm. It's very
yeah.
it's very post punk,
and it's true. I really like that.
Yeah, I Should Have Known Better. The opening track, that's, we talked about this being a goth album. That's very goth.
Oh yeah,
has this sort of spoken word monologue. In an act of contrition, I lay down by your side.
Oh, yeah?
Am I laughing or crying? You know, like, it's very goth. That's a great song, though. You know what I really love about that song, actually, is, like, the snare sound on it.
Cause, yeah.
Because the entire song, almost, is just, like, the hi-hat and the bass drum. So when he finally, like, hits that snare, it, like, cracks really loud, and it's really satisfying.
Saint Anger, it ain't.
Man.
See, that's my playtime.
Any opportunity to bring up Saint Anger, huh?
Anytime anybody mentions a snare.
It's just Saint
Anger. Sound. You know what they should have done, Metallica?
What's that?
What they should have done, if what they wanted to do was, like, get gritty,
mm-hmm.
why didn't they just call Steve Albini?
They probably don't know who he is.
No, I can't imagine that's true.
Yeah, they probably do.
And that's what a band does, like, when they want this kind of credibility.
Yeah, Bush did that.
Yeah, Razorblade Suitcase.
Yeah. Of course, I mean, they were probably just ripping off Nirvana when they did that, but...
Yeah, and Nirvana. I mean, I don't think they wanted credibility exactly, like... But that, like... They kind of started that.
Well, Nirvana was a part of that scene also. Like, they
right.
they understood what Steve Albini was about, you know. They didn't, like,
yeah.
use him for credibility, I don't think.
No, I think that was just, like, a chance to work with an idol.
Yeah, I mean...
And who wouldn't take that?
Right. Well,
listen, if Steve Albini would record us, I'd do it in a second.
Sure.
I'm sure he'd think I was a fucking idiot. I don't care.
Well, he said specifically that he wanted to work with Steve Albini because of Surfer Rosa and Pod. Like, he just loved
yeah.
the way those records sounded.
So do I.
Yeah.
They well, sound amazing.
They sound amazing. And specifically the drum sound. He really wanted that drum sound.
Yeah, so why didn't Metallica just call him up? He would have done it.
Yeah, true.
However, I mean, he probably wouldn't have put up with, like, all their weird shit.
With Metallica's weird shit?
Yeah. Of just being these multimillionaires who just have, like, this weird therapist guy who follows them around and wants to be in the band.
He wants to be in the band?
God damn it, you have to see
all right,
some kind
I know.
Of monster.
You already harassed me about this last week.
I'm going to do it until you see it.
You're going to do it every week until I watch it?
I'll try not to do it on air.
All right.
Just for the sake of variety.
You'll just send me a Facebook message every day.
Yep.
Until I see it.
Yep.
You know what else is a good song?
What?
The 15th.
Yeah.
Which is an honest to God pop song.
It's a song with its own Wikipedia page.
That's, yeah. You're right.
So, look at that.
But an honest to God pop song, catchy, sweet even, which I wouldn't use to describe Wire, but it's a
or
sweet
any
song.
Or any British people at all.
A crabby bunch they are. And a touching display is cool because I like how it sort of ends in this maelstrom of noise that's worthy of My Bloody Valentine, I would
say. Yes, you definitely can hear shades of My Bloody Valentine in this.
Definitely. I mean, it's sort of hard to, like... Chairs Missing and 154, I think, are extremely influential albums, and like their influence runs so deep in alternative rock that it's like hard to even like suss it out. But these like sounds for 1979 are, I think, pretty ahead of their time. I mean,
right, and that's kind of the thing of like me listening to this, knowing all of that stuff, and needing to place it chronologically.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, oh, well, this sounds like a goth album. And, like, goth existed, but it hadn't developed
quite. Existed.
Well, I mean, like, Bauhaus, I think Bela Lugosi's Dead came out in 79.
It's like The Cure and Siouxsie were around at this time also.
Right. I think, like, Siouxsie and the Banshees, I think, released their first album 78 or 79.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, this was like at the beginning of it.
Sure.
And so for me to say like this sounds like a goth album, like I don't think that was necessarily a conscious choice of theirs. Yeah. I think it was that goth sort of took from this and from Chairs Missing too.
I concur. So, after 184, Wire...
54.
Oh, yeah. What am I thinking of?
I don't know.
After 154, Wire broke up for a little bit.
Sure.
I don't know why, but they did.
And they probably felt that the project had run its course.
Exactly. They were no longer a living sculpture.
Oh, God.
But they reconvened in the mid-80s to become a mediocre synth-pop band.
Yep.
And that brings us to the next album we are going to talk about, which is A Bell is a Cup Until It Is Struck.
That is so true.
Yeah, say what you will about this album. It's true.
Yeah. Yeah, this album is not that good.
It's fine.
I mean, it's not offensive in any way.
No, it's definitely
But it's
not.
Also not, like, impressive in any way.
Mm-hmm. It's not. Yeah, and, you know, like, I think it's a little more left of center than, like, I don't know who fuck, like, what synth pop groups were around in 1987?
Duran Duran.
Yeah. Like, I think it's a little more, like, left of center than Duran Duran, for instance. I think that was more early 80s, but regardless. But yeah, like, I can't imagine anyone, like, really being shaken up by this album, like, the way
right.
they were by the first three.
Right. Event of an accident, contact the following, a sudden air, an invading swarm, in bleeding seals the throne. I shift the blame to the one in the bar's room. I shift the blame. You know what this reminded me of
huh.
is a couple weeks ago, you and I are hanging out, mm-hmm. and we were listening to the Stone Roses.
Oh, yeah.
And we were both shit talking them and saying they're boring because they are. This kind of reminded me of that.
Yeah, it's not far off. I mean, it's just that, you know,
this was first, you know.
This is what British music sounded like in 1987, basically.
Yep.
Like, there's no real way around it. I don't have a whole lot to say about it, honestly.
I really don't either. I just wanted to say it does kind of sound like Stone Roses. So basically, I guess Stone Roses liked this album.
They probably did.
And that's why they're not that good.
Man. You want to talk about pretentious jerk-offs?
Talk about that. Stone Roses?
Stone Roses were pretentious jerk-offs.
Were they?
Yes. Not in the same way as Wire, but they had a real ego.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They were like...
Why?
Real... Your guess is as good as mine.
What were they basing it on?
But yeah, like, apparently in interviews, they were really, like, snide and, like, arrogant and... Like, they would talk about how they were one of the greatest bands in the world, like, and all kinds of shit.
What is with shit like that? Because what is with British people? Because Oasis would do that, too.
Well, where do you think they got it from?
I guess,
but... Maybe it's a Manchester thing.
Maybe it is.
That's just what they're like over there.
I guess. But yeah, can we talk, people? The Stone Roses, I don't understand what you see in them. They're not very good.
Well, to be fair, you listen to like three songs by them.
I listened to enough of it.
And it was on my laptop speaker.
I listened to enough to understand.
Granted, those were probably the best three songs
right.
that they did. So it's all downhill from there.
I wanna be a dog.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, who cares?
Well, see, the thing is, like, when I read about, like, what the Stone Roses were, like, mm-hmm. as far as, like, their place in music history, like...
They sound way more interesting than they really are.
Well, apparently the whole thing about the Manchester scene is that, like, it brought together, like, rock music and dance music in a way that, like, wasn't really a thing before... Like, the Happy Mondays and the Stone Roses and, like, those bands, basically. But, like, I find it hard to picture, like, people dancing to the Stone Roses.
Like, yeah, it does not sound like dance
music. It doesn't sound like dance music at all to me. Like, I guess, like, Primal Scream, like, is sort of dance music.
But, right, like, that I get. And I think before I heard Stone Roses, I think I imagined that, oh, they probably sound like Primal Scream.
Yeah.
They don't.
They really don't. They just sound like mediocre Smiths to me more than anything else.
Yeah, so imagine a worse band than the Smiths.
I thought you kind of liked The Smiths.
I do. It's just so easy.
Right. I mean, The Smiths are probably the most mockable band, like, in all of music history, right?
They're up there.
Like, who is easier to make fun of than The Smiths in the world of, like, alternative rock music?
I'm trying to refute that, but I really can't.
The Smashing Pumpkins?
Fuck, you got me.
Those are the two.
And they're mockable for very similar reasons.
Because their front man is a douchebag?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What more do you need?
Yeah, I'm sorry I don't have anything more interesting to say about this album, but it's not a very interesting album.
The title is interesting.
And the cover is, too.
Because what is, even is the... It's a horse head and a filing cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, what does that mean?
You don't get it, Caroline.
What is it?
Well, I'm not going to explain it to you.
It's a horse file. It's a horse file.
If you don't get it now, you never will.
It's an Equus cabinet.
Equus cabinet.
I don't know. What does that mean?
I don't know.
I know you don't know.
But we're going to skip ahead 15 years.
Yeah. Whole lot happened.
Yeah.
A little thing called 9/11 happened.
We're glancing over 9/11. We're going to skip right on past that.
Yeah. You all know how that story went.
Yeah. We've all been there before. Man, do you ever think about, like, how dark a time period 2000s America was?
Yes.
Like, damn, that was a horrible time to grow up, dude.
Yeah, how did we make it?
I don't know.
Are we even making
it? No, we're still reeling from 9/11, man. Like,
yeah.
I think that, like, set us on a real shit path for the next 15 years.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Bin Laden.
Yeah, that guy's a real dick.
Well, he's dead now.
Yeah.
He's done now, and so all problems are over.
It was totally worth it.
Yep. Well. So, Wire in 2003, they released a little album called Send. That is pretty good.
I would say Send is pretty good.
Yeah, it's way better than that other shit I had to listen to.
It all basically sounds the same.
Yes, it does.
Which is fine. You know, I don't really mind albums like that, actually. Like, as long as they're short, you know?
And this is pretty short.
It's under 40 minutes. Which is the right length it should be. But it's kind of industrial, actually. Like, it's kind of got that KMFDM vibe to it or something.
Yeah, it's like that dance industrial kind of stuff, which I like.
Yeah, and it's produced very oddly.
How do you mean?
Well, just it sounds like smeary, kind of. Like, the bass is, like, overloaded, and the guitars are very, like, digital sounding, kind of. Like, they've got this digital distortion on them.
Yes.
And the drums are all electronic, I think. It sounds like it, for the most part.
It does sound like it, and it's very, like, it's very dance, it's very dancey. In that, like, a turn of the century goth club kind of way.
Depending on what kind of dancing you like to do, I suppose.
Yeah.
But yeah, the rhythm is very repetitive and insistent, so I guess it is sort of dancey in that way. But yeah, the songs are all basically the same.
I find this to be a perfectly agreeable album.
Yeah, I like it, actually. I listened to it. I went to go visit my mom last weekend in Michigan.
Sure.
And it made for good driving music, actually, like, on the way back. Because, you know, those rhythms are just so insistent, and And basically every song is like, you get this repetitive rhythm, this repetitive drum loop.
Mm-hmm.
You get these like noisy digital processed guitars. You get this weird overloaded bass sound. And you get Colin Newman being an angry British person.
But your movements are too slow. You've eaten your way through the whole menu. You say that everything and haven't made the bill.
You know, it's basically that for 40 minutes.
And, mm-hmm. And they get some nice, like, kind of grooves in there, like 99.9.
Yeah.
Is really good.
And that's cool. Because that's the longest song on the album, and it starts.
Yeah, it's like a nice groove that gets you to the end, which I always appreciate.
Yeah.
I had a very busy week this week, and. All of a sudden, on like Thursday night, I was like, "Ah, shit! I gotta listen to all these Wire albums." So I really kind of mainlined them very quickly. yeah. So
this one wasn't a chore for you.
No, this one was not. I did enjoy this. I like Mr. Marx's Table. I like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess like the vocals are kind of silly in parts.
Like, yeah, but
like,
I mean
like
they're
you
not.
Can't leave now. I mean it's a 50-something British man yelling at you. You know,
that is not the first time I've experienced that.
Did you get yelled at when you were in London?
No, I should have. I didn't.
You should have.
Yeah.
Why?
Look at me.
Who wouldn't want to yell at you?
I mean, honestly.
Yeah, this album is just fine.
It's good enough.
It's a respectable late effort.
Yeah, and sometimes that's all you can ask for.
I would say so.
Robert Christgau gave it A-.
Well, as I always say, fuck Robert Christgau.
Yeah.
I
killed Robert Christgau with my big fucking dick.
Fucking dick. There's just not a whole lot. All right, you know what? Fuck this album. Let's talk about Red Bark Tree.
Yeah. This one is pretty good, too. It sounds a lot different.
I think it does. Kind of a snooze, honestly.
Yeah.
I didn't really find anything on this album that, like, perked my ears up. And this was an album that got, I wouldn't say, like, a lot of acclaim, but definitely people were like, hey, this new Wire album's pretty good. Wire still got it. Yeah. And,
But as we've said, they did say that about Saint Anger.
I guess you're, yeah. I guess that's all you have to say.
Yeah, just, it does have some good songs. Like 2 minutes is a good song.
Yeah, and it is two minutes.
I think the title track is good.
Red Bark Trees, sure.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like the of an old band.
Yeah.
And it kind of sounds like the effort of an old band, like, kind of moving through their own history. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're kind of taking bits from everything that they've done before and condensing it into this album that just kind of sounds like some old, like, dudes in their 60s chilling.
I guess I can see that. See, I think, like, I would have liked that album, though. Like, if they...
Yeah.
If that's what I was hearing when I listened
to... So you don't like this at all?
I don't hate it, but it doesn't do a lot for me. You know, I don't know. Maybe I need to listen to it more, but it just felt very uninspired to me and kind of... I don't know. Like, there's no spark to these songs, and they're not interesting, like, sonically, I don't think, which is, I think, one of the appeals of Chairs Missing and 154 is that
shouldn't
they
that be the appeal of all music?
Well,
that you like said it's interesting sonically.
Well, I mean, in terms of the, like, tones of the instruments and, like, the sounds on it and, like, that kind of thing. I mean,
yeah, okay.
Well, I mean, like, Pink Flag, I think that's a great sounding record. I actually love the way the guitars sound on Pink Flag, which I didn't I didn't mention that when we were talking about it, but you know, like, in terms of, like, the building blocks of the music, it's not anything particularly flashy, you know, it's distorted guitars and bass and drums.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, Pink Flag and, or Chairs Missing and 154 kind of introduce these, you know, there's a greater range of timbre on there.
Is it, like, timbre? It's timbre, isn't
it's
it?
It's timbre.
Timbre? What?
I don't appreciate the tone of incredulity in your voice that you repeated that with, but...
What the fuck are you talking about?
All right,
timbre.
I'm looking it up right the fuck now, all right?
Can you read the phonetic alphabet?
Shit, yeah, I can.
Can you?
Well, I can tell the difference between Tam and Tom, that's for sure. I'm going to need you to cut out that condescending laughter.
I'm not being condescending.
All right. Well, apparently the French pronounce it timbre.
Are we in France?
Well, it is a French word.
Are we in French Canada? We're not. We are in America. Say tam. Well, A, it looks like timber. It's not. It looks like it.
It does look like timber.
But it's timbre.
All right, whatever.
This conversation is way more interesting than this album.
Yeah, that's why we're having it instead of the conversation about the album.
Yeah. What's this album cover? What is it? It's like, is it amp tubes?
It looks like, it kind of looks like Whippet canisters, actually.
You think they're doing Whippets?
Have you ever done Whippets?
No. Do you know why?
Why?
Because I saw that episode of Intervention with the girl who did computer duster.
Oh, yeah.
All day. And I was like, I should stay away from that. And I did.
Well, look.
Have you done Whippets?
Oh, yeah.
How are they?
I mean, they last for like 15 seconds.
But... Yeah, so what is even the point?
Well, you get real high. That's the point.
Oh, it's crack. It's great. It gets you really high.
You gotta understand, like, in 2008, I just wanted to get high in lots of different ways.
Quite an admirable goal.
So, you know, I was willing to do things like inhale nitrous from a tiny canister.
Sure.
Paige and I have used to do air duster.
Would you watch that episode of Intervention while you did it?
No, I didn't know that episode existed.
Have you seen it?
The show Intervention?
Have you seen that episode?
No, I just said I didn't know it existed.
You should. It's great.
Okay. Yeah, don't fucking inhale air duster, kids. That's a really fucking stupid.
You should stick children. You should stick to drugs that are meant to be drugs.
Yeah. Paige almost got caught inhaling air duster by her mom one time, actually.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Apparently, she was like. Well, I don't want to get into that story.
Yeah, that's
ask Paige
story.
To tell you sometime next time.
Okay,
I hang
okay,
out.
Listeners of this podcast, you should ask Paige about this story
if she's ever a guest on this show.
Sure.
Which she almost was one time, but she said she felt intimidated.
So she got cold feet.
She did.
That's okay.
She was going to talk about Sleater-Kinney,
and we still haven't.
We still
so the door is open.
We still haven't.
But yeah, you should stick to drugs that, that's their intention. Like, don't do DXM because you can shoplift it from CVS.
Well, I feel like we should be telling kids not to do drugs at all.
Well, I think to some degree, I think that that is unreal. And so if you're going to do them, you should be safe.
So you're like that mom that lets the kids smoke pot in the house.
No, actually, I hate that. I don't think that that's cool.
I had a friend whose mom did that.
She let you smoke pot?
She let us smoke pot at her house because she's like, I know you're going to do it anyway. So we would just fucking, like, smoke a fucking, like, right on her porch. Then we'd come in and she would give us popsicles. It was great.
See, I knew people, like, I knew kids where their parents would let them drink, and that, I'm super not okay with. Mm. I don't think you should let kids drink.
Yeah, probably not.
Keep them out. But if you're going to do stuff, just be smart about it. Be aware of any medications that you're taking and any potential interactions that may occur, because that's not a good place to be.
You know what? I'm going to say don't do drugs.
Wild card.
I'm responsible, okay? I'm looking out for the youth of America. The youth of the world.
Yeah.
Don't do
we
drugs.
We are the youth of the nation.
That's right. That should be our theme song.
Youth of the Nation by P.O.D.?
Yeah. I know we usually start the show with, you know, the music of whatever band we're talking about, but I think in the future, you know, that's something we should consider.
No, you know what our theme song should be? It's a song that has come up a few times. Hmm. It's The Reason by Hoobastank.
That's the theme song of my life, all right? I don't need it to be the theme song on this podcast.
This podcast is part of your life.
It could be my life. I think we're done.
Yeah, I'm done.
I'm done, too.
Thank you for putting up with this bullshit, guys.
Yeah. Wire's, look, listen to the first three Wire albums, all right? Like, that is essential listening if you were at all interested in, like, punk rock or alternative rock or whatever you want to call it. Like, you need to know these three albums. Like, you have no excuse.
I'm not going to come down, but you should listen to them because you might enjoy them. If you enjoy the kind of music, you probably will enjoy them.
No, it's like you're not a complete human being until you have listened to them.
You're fine just the way God made you,
Caroline.
All of you.
Look, no one needs your hippy dippy bullshit. Right? The reason America is so terrible today is because we're soft on these kids. Right? We tell them, you know, you don't have to listen to the first three Wire albums. Bullshit.
Yeah.
You have to listen to the first three Wire albums.
Yeah. It's not listening to the first three Wire albums. That's why children have so much ADD and food allergies today, which clearly did not exist in my day.
Right. Everyone gets a trophy now.
I got a trophy when I was a kid, and it was for participation. I knew what that was. I was insulted.
Right. That's the fucking stupid thing about that whole argument. Is like, do you think we didn't notice that everyone got a trophy
Right. Okay,
so you think we were like, wow, a trophy.
Yeah, like, I knew what it was. I feel like as an adult, I definitely come across as the kind of person that definitely got participation trophies. So, on that, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Consider this podcast your participation trophy.
Yes.
For participating in your life.
Everybody gets one.
Yep. We love you.
I think you're all right.
You love them.
Quiet.
You love the fame.
The worldwide recognition I get. For doing
when
this.
People hear your voice at the, you know, drive-thru at the steak, and they're just like, that's Jeff from that podcast.
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't believe how often I get voice recognized out on the street.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I'm done.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.